Hello, Indiana 4-H, and welcome to The 4-H. The 4-H is a healthy living podcast series that aims to bring a renewed energy and focus to the 4-H in Indiana 4-H. My name is Angie Frost, and I am a Purdue University 4-H Extension Specialist and a registered dietitian. The 4-H podcasts provide us an opportunity to discuss various aspects of nutrition, physical activity, and social-emotional health. So, as we pledge our health to better living, let's get started. Each year in February, we celebrate Dental Health Month. Taking good care of our teeth is important, yet many people have questions regarding dental health, including, when should you start brushing your children's teeth? How to brush and floss appropriately, and which types of toothpastes are best. Today, we will provide you with some dental health tips that will help you keep your pearly whites healthy. As the saying goes, be true to your teeth or they will be false to you. Today, I am joined by my good friend, Brenda Detzner. Brenda is a dental hygienist in Lafayette, Indiana. Welcome, Brenda. It's wonderful to have you with us today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you, Angie. I'm glad to be here. Yes, I'm a dental hygienist, and I've been a hygienist for 40 years, and needless to say, I love it. As far as telling you a little bit about myself, I am a people person. I enjoy people, so dental hygiene is a good profession for me since I'm with people all day long. I also have a degree in dental public health. I am a 4-H alumni, or alumnus, I guess. As far as activities, I love my family. We do a lot with our kids and grandkids. We love to travel in the United States and abroad. And one of my favorite things is I'm a member of a running club. And that I only started that 3 years ago and really enjoy it.
That's actually where I met Brenda. I'm in the same running club with her, and we've had some really great times together during our runs in the extreme heat and freezing cold weather, but it's always a good time when we're all together. So thank you so much for joining us. I think we're going to learn a lot today, and I learned something already. I did not know you were a 4-H alumnus, so that's really interesting. And congratulations on 40 years in the same career. That's a wonderful milestone to reach, and not many people reach that these days. So let's begin with the history of Dental Health Month. Why have we started celebrating Dental Health Month?
Back in 1941, there was one day set aside for National Children's Dental Health Day. And it was so popular that it stayed that way until 1955. And in 1955, it became a week long. And in 1981, they made it a month long. And all this is supported and backed by the American Dental Association, the ADA. But the whole idea is to focus on community, and they do that through schools and clubs and libraries. The main thing is to educate the public, to help them inspire about good oral health, because we want everyone to have good dental habits.
That's great. I think it's important, especially to focus on children and taking care of their teeth even before they have teeth, I think. And I think we might talk about that a little bit as we go through some of the podcast today. And as a matter of fact, one of my next questions is, when should parents begin a good oral health program with their children?
That's a great question, Angie. You're right. It should start before teeth. When infants are small and whether they're nursing or bottle fed, they should have their teeth wiped out with a cloth afterwards, even before they have teeth, their gums. Children's teeth start to form in the embryo. At age 6 weeks, the permanent teeth are forming. So the primary teeth have already started to form prior to that. As far as bringing a child to the dentist, that's a personal decision of the parents. If you read any of the literature, it's anywhere from 6 months to 3.5 years. So parents can look in their kid's mouth and say, oh, there's a problem, I need to take them in. Or they can wait and just make sure they are also helping the kid brush their teeth, their child. The best way to do that is use a very soft toothbrush and a small one. The smaller, the better. And as the child ages and gets up to around 2, 2.5, 3, then they want to always brush their own teeth. So as a parent, I would let my kids brush their own teeth, but then I would have a child's toothbrush and let them brush mine at the same time as I'm brushing theirs. So it's not that battle of, I want to do it myself because they're so fascinated with my mouth. So I think that's very important. The reason all this is important to start early is because our body has, well, first of all, let me go back and just say that cavities are not just holes in your teeth, it's actually a disease. And the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, says that from ages 6 to 11, it's the most chronic disease in America. And we have good oral health here, and yet it just is, it can be rampant in areas. So tooth decay in a little bit older group, 14 to 17, is four times more common than asthma. And asthma has increased over the years, too. The important thing to remember is that it's not just holes in your teeth, but it's a chronic disease that we want you to get a hold of before it gets out of control.
That's a really good point to make, that it is a disease and it is something that we can protect from. And so with some few simple steps that we'll learn about today, we'll be able to do that. And I do want to mention that it is important to not put babies down for naps or to bed with a bottle that has anything in it besides water. And probably even at that point, it's not safe to do that because of choking hazards. When babies go to bed with a bottle that has juice or milk or something like that in there, the sugars that are in those products stay on the child's teeth throughout the night and causes what is known as baby bottle tooth decay, and that is a disease as well. So, and it can affect their teeth for many years to come. So please don't put your children down with a bottle when they go to bed. So now that we know that we should be taking good care of our teeth, how often is it suggested that we brush and floss our teeth?
We still recommend you do it three times a day as far as brushing and once a day for flossing. But honestly, most of us do not live that lifestyle. We are not home at lunch. We don't carry a toothbrush with us. So we say two good times a day, once in the morning and once in the evening, and then flossing once a day. As far as disclosing tablets and other ways to check to see how well you're brushing and flossing, they do have those on the market. Again, if you want to use them, it's fine, but we would rather spend your time and money and effort on keeping your teeth clean and your gums clean.
So you mentioned disclosing tablets. So is that something that helps you see whether you brush your teeth appropriately or not? Or what can you tell us about disclosing tablets?
They are something, it could be a liquid or it could be a tablet, and all the plaque that's left on the teeth will show up whatever color that product says. And then you know, oh, I'm missing in this area, need to wrap the floss around more, or I need to brush better.
I don't think brushing is just, you go in there, you put your toothbrush in your mouth, and you just, you know, go to town. I think there is a technique to it, and we would like to hear about that.
First thing we'd say is use a soft bristled toothbrush. We don't care if it's a manual one, it costs a dollar at the dollar store, or if you get a $100 electric toothbrush, they all do the same thing. So whatever works for you works. Very gently brush your gums and brush your teeth. Plaque is sticky, and all plaque is bacteria that is constantly growing in your mouth. And as it grows, it causes decay or cavities within your teeth, but also irritates your gums, and it can cause them to bleed. So always brush gently on your gums. We call it massaging the gums, and also brush your teeth. If you do that for a couple minutes in the morning and 2 minutes in the evening, you're really going to have clean teeth. So time yourself some time, and you do a minute on your lower teeth of brushing and a minute on your upper teeth of brushing, and you'll think, I am in here forever. And it is a long time. So you do that every morning and definitely every night before you go to bed. When you go to bed, your body slows down, the bacteria takes over, so you want to make sure you get it out. And then the same with flossing. We want you to floss once a day because it not only cleans between the teeth, but around the tooth. Let it go down under the tissue, under the gum line. And all it flossing is rubbing the front of the tooth and then rubbing the back of the tooth. So if you're not flossing, you're leaving two sides of each tooth dirty, which is half your tooth, which is half your mouth. So make sure you floss every day to get that plaque, the sticky film off.
And so it's important not to just put the floss in between two teeth. It's important to move that floss around. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Let it hug the tooth. And if you go straight down, you'll probably cut your gum and it'll hurt and you won't want to floss. And if you push it against your tooth and then let it go down and around and kind of hug the tooth and go up and down, it'll just peel or rub the plaque off.
Okay. Well, that's really important and good to know. I think that a lot of people might say, I floss every day, but they are just sort of putting it in there and taking it out and not really moving it around and getting the benefit that they could be getting. So another important question about flossing might be, should you floss your teeth before you brush them or after you brush them?
That's an excellent question. You can look up literature and find each way is the best. So the important thing is you get it done. And if it is better for you to floss before your teeth and get everything out, before you brush and get everything out, and then have the fluoride go in there, that's great. But if you want to do it afterwards and get all the excess toothpaste out as well, then that's great too. It's a great question. We get asked that every single day. It's the same with the kinds of toothbrush and the kinds of dental floss. You can use waxed, you can use unwaxed, you can use flavored, you can use unflavored. Whatever works for you works because they all do the same thing. We just say use a soft bristled toothbrush.
I know that I have seen firm and hard, I think, toothbrushes, you know, in the store when I've been looking for them. And what would be the harm of using a more stiff bristled toothbrush as opposed to a soft one?
The firmer ones or a harder one is when a person gets it on their gums, it hurts. So they have a tendency to stay away and not brush at their gum line. There's just around each tooth is like a little ditch. So that fills up with plaque and they never get it clean. And then the plaque turns to tartar. Then you come in and we have to remove it. But in the meantime, their gums are irritated and perhaps bleeding. So the idea is if you feel like, and if you're used to a hard toothbrush, then you feel like a soft toothbrush would be more like a mop. So go ahead and brush your teeth with a hard toothbrush. It's not going to hurt the enamel. It's not going to hurt the tooth itself. But then get a soft toothbrush and brush your gums afterwards.
Okay, that's a really good point. I know that there are people who just really prefer a firm toothbrush, and I can't imagine because I always buy a soft bristled one. And so that makes sense. It's what you're used to and you know, how you can best take care of your own mouth by figuring out what works for you. So now that we've talked about toothbrushes and we know that we should be getting a soft bristled toothbrush and any kind of floss we want as long as we're actually using it, what can you tell us about toothpaste? Are there different toothpastes and what should we be looking for?
Our idea on toothpaste is to buy something with fluoride. Just during the course of a day, some of the fluoride will come off the top surface of your teeth, so it puts it back on. So some people are allergic to fluoride, and that's fine because the whole idea of brushing and flossing is to get the plaque off. So you can do that without toothpaste. As a matter of fact, you can keep your teeth very clean without toothpaste, but when you're brushing and the plaque gets stirred up, it's a terrible taste, and then the toothpaste adds a nice minty flavor or whatever flavor you like. So we always say use whatever you prefer, what you like the flavor of, that it has fluoride, and whatever's on sale.
Okay. That's important to know, that look for something that has fluoride in it. What about mouthwashes? Are they important? Is there something that we should look for in a mouthwash?
As far as mouthwashes, people like them because they leave your mouth, you have that feeling of you suck in air and you're, oh, that's fresh and that's clean. As far as cleaning your teeth, they really don't do that much. What cleans your teeth again is the mechanical action, the brushing of the brush and the flossing of the floss. A lot of people like mouthwashes to give them that fresh, clean feeling. Most bad breath comes from sinus, comes down from their head or something they've eaten up or just not keeping care of their teeth. So again, if we'd rather you spend your money on the toothbrush and the dental floss and the time that way, but if it's not going to harm your teeth. There are rinses out there that are strictly fluoride rinses to use if a person would like just increase their fluoride. I use one just because I have nooks and crannies that can decay quickly. Kids with braces use them. So again, you're not going to over-fluoridate. around this area, we have a lot of natural fluoride in our water. And don't forget, there's always fluoride in food. A lot of the raw vegetables and eggs and fresh fruit contain fluoride.
Okay, that's really good to know. I know that sometimes parents might be a little worried about whether their kids are brushing appropriately, which the disclosing tabs could help them with, and maybe a toothbrush with a timer on it. I have one of those, and it has helped significantly in the amount of time that I spend brushing my teeth. Thankfully, I have fairly healthy teeth, and maybe that's from years of taking really good care of it. But I think it's important to know, you know, that there are alternatives, so...
Another idea for helping children and even adults is there are apps. Just Google apps for children brushing their teeth. And there are just myriads of apps, and there's tunes and there's videos and there's music. And they just stay present to brushing as they use them.
That's such a great idea. Anything to make brushing a fun activity to keep kids engaged and get them wanting to brush their teeth is amazing. I didn't realize those were out there, so that's a really great thing for parents to know about. I think something that people don't understand is the overall impact that poor dental health can have on your overall health. What can you tell us about how poor oral health can affect our general health?
That's a great question. We call it the link. There's a link between your oral health and what's going on in the rest of your body. It can be anywhere from bacteria in your mouth can go into your bloodstream, and when your gums are inflamed, this bacteria can attach to the blood platelets. So this can get into your blood vessels and then enhance heart disease. The same with strokes, that people with long-standing gum diseases are more likely to have strokes. They have found out. The same with lungs, that when there's bacteria in your mouth, it collects and it gets into your lungs, and that can cause more pneumonia and those type of situations. The presence of any kind of gum inflammation will make it more difficult for a diabetic to control their blood sugar. So the elimination of any gum inflammation can directly improve a diabetic situation. And they're doing a lot of research on this. They're doing research with preterm births, if there's any correlation. Also between Alzheimer's and rheumatoid arthritis, all the way down to kidney diseases. So a lot of it we don't know. A lot of it, there's just an inkling that there's something going on there.
Sure. We know that inflammation can cause lots of different health issues. And so that makes sense that inflamed gums or inflammation in the mouth can cause lots of other issues as well. So something definitely to be aware of. And we know from a nutrition perspective that when people have poor oral health, they're less likely to eat healthy foods as well because they have trouble chewing or they have trouble, you know, really getting food that tastes good even too. So it can affect lots of things. So your oral health is very important, and I just don't know that we give enough attention to how our oral health can affect our general health. So I think before we finish, I wanted to ask you what you think about commercial tooth whiteners. Is this something that's safe for our teeth? Should we be using these tooth whiteners without some type of dental supervision from a dentist or a dental hygienist or someone in the profession? Is it safe for us to do that?
That's a great question, too, because I get asked that every day as well. Anything over the counter that is ADA, American Dental Association approved, will not hurt your teeth, will not hurt the enamel on your teeth. Is it helpful? It may be, it may not be. Whether you have it done professionally in a dental office or over the counter, you have to have good oral health. You have to have the plaque off, or otherwise, if someone doesn't get the plaque off around the curves of their teeth and they try to whiten them, the whitening does not go through the plaque. So then they have striped teeth when they get them cleaned.
Okay, so that may backfire a little bit on them then, and not result in what they thought was going to happen. So,
yes, and it all depends on your body chemistry, how well it works. But anything over the counter, like I said, ADA approved, will not hurt your enamel.
Okay. So you said it depends on your body chemistry. So that leads me to a question about, are there people who produce more plaque than others? I mean, would there be people who are considered to be heavy plaque producers and people who just kind of don't seem to produce much at all?
That is true. Very true. You said it well. We have people come into the office and we think, you manufacture plaque. You probably have it before you pay your bill. But we don't know why. Some people do and some don't. But that is true. That's a good question.
That's really interesting. I hadn't really thought about that until you just when you said that. And that's really interesting and really good to know. I think we've covered a lot of really important information today about taking care of your teeth from infancy all the way into adulthood. Is there anything else that you think that we should know about that would be helpful in terms of taking care of our good oral health?
I would also add, I know I'm a dental hygienist, but get to your dentist regularly. It depends on your situation. Most often twice a year, but some people can go once a year. Again, like you said, it depends on how much plaque they have and to keep up because once decay starts on a tooth, it gets through the first layer of enamel and the next layer down is dentin and it just is rapid. It just shoots right through it and then can hit the nerve and then we have a whole new situation of a possible root canal or depending on the tooth and the whole oral cavity, maybe even an extraction. So I would say be mindful to going to the dentist.
So thankful to have you here today and help us understand what we need to know to take care of our teeth because we need them. Thank you for being here.
You're very welcome. Thanks for inviting me. And remember, we like to eat, so we better brush and floss.
Absolutely. That's very true. So now it's time for a call to action. How can you best protect your teeth? Brush at least twice a day and floss once a day. Use toothpaste and mouthwashes if you wish that include fluoride and visit your dentist twice a year. Also, consume a diet rich in fruits and vegetables and other foods that have naturally occurring fluoride. If you are in an Indiana 4-H club or are a 4-H club leader in Indiana, consider incorporating dental health lessons and activities into your club meetings. And consider inviting a dental hygienist to your club meetings in February. If you're interested in additional dental health resources, contact me at alfrost@purdue.edu for more information. Visit our Indiana 4-H Facebook page and tell us how you practice good dental health. I hope you've been inspired to educate yourself, your family, and your 4-H club about dental health and ways to protect your teeth. Don't forget to pledge your health to better living by brushing and flossing daily. Because, as a wise person once said, you don't have to floss all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep. Thanks for listening to this edition of the 4-H Podcast.